This is another day the Lord has made that we rejoice and be glad in Him. It's good and pleasant for brethren to come together in unity because the presence of God is there, blessings are there, God has already commanded them. We started the message last week and our title was God and Human Beings. Last week it was part one. Today, we are going to go to part two. Let me just try to recapitulate a little bit what we said last week. It was all about the plan of God for human beings, that is you and I. God, when He created us, He created us for relationship. And in that relationship, we tried to describe that there are some positions that we always have in this life. You can be close, you can be closer, you can be the closest. And I said that God is close to all of His creation. God is in control of all of His creation. No matter what people do, no matter how people think, but God is in control. And we said God then chose Himself to come closer to His people, the Israelites. And that was made through two main things. We said it was in the Old Testament, we see the tabernacle, Exodus chapter 25, where God said or instructed Moses to say, ask people to contribute so that you can build a tabernacle, a sanctuary for me to dwell in the midst of my people. So God moves from the general to a particular. Now He has His own people. And God now is living with His own people. His own people can know and be assured of the presence of God. Whenever they see the tabernacle, whenever they see the temple, they know that our God is here with us. Still, God is the God of all. But He has chosen His own people. And then in the New Testament, we saw that Jesus called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. It means God makes another move. From a tabernacle, God comes to live in a human being. That human being is Jesus. That was just to show us that it is possible for God to live in a human body. It is possible. Because we saw it in Jesus. The fullness of God, the Creator, was in Jesus Christ. Then we said, that was almost our first part, and what we took as lessons there, we said that God, when He comes closer to His people, God comes to, one, sanctify them, two, send them because they are sanctified, three, protect them. And we took everything from the book of John chapter 17, and we read last week, it was from verse 1 to 19, and today we'll be reading from verse 20 to, I think, 26, the last one. This will be part of our message today, but still it will be a combination of the two, the entire chapter of John 17. So this is what we said in recapitulation. So we just go to the book of John. Just go with me to the book of John 17. Let us read from 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me, and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Heavenly Father, another time you have given us, Lord, speak to us. Holy Spirit, take everything that is mine and let me just speak from the word of God and from the mind of God. And let the congregation receive, Lord, this message of yours on a fertile ground. We thank you, Father God, because you are going to speak to us and you are listening now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. So, as I was reading this scripture, I came to realize something that just struck me, and I said, when I read it, I see that there's a concept or a term that is used many times when you read from verse 1. It's glory, glorify, glory, glorify. And it's almost like roughly 9 times it's there repeated. So it's a very important word. So this is what the basis of the message of today, because the main point where we are going is to see that God now has made another move now to be in a human being. In a human being, not Jesus, now in you and in me. So God wants not only to fellowship with you, but God wants you to have him in you. That's the way we are going. But I want just to speak about the glory of God, because it's very important for us to understand the message of today. By definition, we say God's glory is the revelation of his presence and his character. Very, very important. The glory of God is the revelation of God's presence and God's character. From that, you will see that there are consequences of the glory of God, because the glory of God reveals the character of God. You know, God is love. God is a healer. God is all this we know. And therefore, whenever we come in the presence of God, the glory of God will be manifested to us and God will meet our needs. Our physical needs. God will meet our physical needs. And let me tell you that the glory of God is all over the world. The glory of God is not in the church. The glory, we see the glory of God. Wherever you go, you see the glory of God. Because of the glory of God, there is provision all over the world. If we see the sun, this sun is God's provision. The rain is God's provision. The air is God's provision. Whatever we have is the provision of God. If you want to see the glory of God, just look at what is happening in this world. You know, my brothers and sisters, the glory of God is really everywhere you go. Let me just give you a simple example. Go to a place like in my country, in the eastern part of the DRC. There, when people wake up, they don't know what will happen to them. At night, they don't know if they can sleep and wake up tomorrow. But still, people are running even from their feet. They're leaving their fields. They are leaving cattle. They are leaving houses. They are leaving. People are just running. But let me tell you, because God's glory is there also, there is always provision. People are still living, no matter what is happening. Look at street people. Sometimes when you look at them, people live even for many years, more years than people who live in their houses. Why? Because God's glory is everywhere. And God's glory supplies. So when we want to see the glory of God, it's everywhere. Because the character of God is to provide. The character of God is compassion. God is always moved to assist. God is always moved to do something. That's his character. And when we see those things, we must be reminded of the presence of the glory of God. The second thing about the glory of God is that of the presence. We said about the character, and now the presence. Because God is present, He does what we learned last week. He sanctifies, He sends, and He secures. That's what God does. Because of His presence. And this is what God, and because of that, this is what I will call God's mission. The presence of God is God's mission. It means we are called by God. God interacts with us to lead, to send us out, not to keep us in. God wants us to go out. That's why He comes to us in a very specific way. And that is what I called the mission of God. And this mission of God, if I want to summarize everything about the mission of God, the first mission of God was to the Jews. God came with a mission to the Jews, and this is what we said about the tabernacle, and it was, His presence was in the tabernacle, and His presence was in Jesus, which means Emmanuel. God is with us. God is no more far from us. We are the people of God. We have the assurance that we are the people of God because this God has come to us just where we are. We didn't look for God. We didn't go for God, but God came to us. Remember even in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. What happened? They ran away. They went to hide. But God came to them right where they were hiding. That's why God is doing the same even this morning. You and I, there are sometimes we are hiding somewhere. We are hiding. When we come here, it's hallelujah, brother, how are you? Whatever we say, but we are hiding. But God is coming to you now. God is just talking to you the way He called upon Adam and said, Adam, where are you? And they said, I'm here. He was hiding because of sin. And my brothers and sisters, just be reminded that God has come to us. And when God makes that move, He comes to sanctify us. And even the Israelites were sanctified. Even you see the rite of purification when they were going to the tabernacle. Everything started with purification. Why? Because this is the work of God when He comes in the midst of His people. He is holy. He wants us also to be holy. And when He sanctifies us, we said in the time of Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, God sanctifies us with His word. Why? Because we need the same word of God to take it out. So you will never go out without the word of God. You need the word of God. I need the word of God so that we can go outside and make disciples. So this is what we saw. And now the mission of God after Emmanuel, after the cross, because it starts with the cross. When Jesus, if you read the Bible, you will see that before the cross, Jesus dealt with the Jews only. Sending them, He said, don't go to any house of the Gentiles. Just go to the house of the Israelites. This woman comes, Jesus will say, I cannot give the food of children to dogs. We are considered like dogs. Which means that the first mission of God was to the Jews. And now after the cross, Jesus resurrected. He came to His disciples. He appeared to them. And He spoke to them and told them instead to say, now time has come for the entire world. Now go all over the world. Go and spread this good news. Go reach out to those who were unreachable or unreached. It's time now to go out. So that time will come with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there, is in us for mission. The Holy Spirit has come, not for you just to be the way you are, just enjoy. No, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He dwells in you and me. It means mission must start. We must get ready. And if you say you have the Spirit of God in you, this reminds you this morning that you have to go out because the Holy Spirit came for that. So that was the first part we can see here. And now I want to speak about now God's mission because this is the last part of my message. It's God's mission to the world. It's about now the Holy Spirit. Because God came, he was in the tabernacle. They saw the tabernacle, they could see and say, God is here. And Jesus came, they know this is Emmanuel, this is God, God is with us. And now Jesus says, no, it's not enough. It's good now that we make the last move. I will live in you. So let us read Romans. It is there. There are a lot of literature today. It is there on the screen. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. John 14, 16 to 20. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. It is clear, Paul writing to the Romans, he says, if you say you are a child of God, then you have the Spirit of God. You must have the Spirit of God in you. No one can claim to be a believer or a Christian if he or she doesn't have the Spirit of God in him. Because what birthed us is the Holy Spirit. We are born of the Spirit of God. So, and when the Spirit of God comes, he will live or dwell in us. Scripturally, it is clear that if you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't belong to Jesus. You must have the Spirit of Jesus to belong to Jesus. That's a question to you and to me. If we have the Spirit of God, then we belong to Jesus. If we don't have, then we do not belong to Jesus. And he said that it was good for them that he goes, because him going will make the Spirit coming down. And when the Spirit now comes, he will be in you. That will mean that now God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are in you. Because he says, you will know that I am in you and you are in me. I'm in the Father. So now that's what God wants. God is looking for that. Just bringing us to the point where God and us will become one thing. God wants you and me to be the true representative of God on earth. I remember sometimes ago, that was last year, I think, there was a guy who asked me a question. He said, is Christianity still relevant today? I said, yes, it is. And he said, well, how? I explained, I said, you know what? God, when he created everything, God created someone. He created human beings to represent him. That's why, as the church, we are called to represent God. We are the representatives of God on earth. That's the plan of God. That's the will of God. That's the mind of God. That's what God is looking for, is to see that there are people who represent me. And for them to represent me, I myself will dwell in them. I myself will live in them. How will I live in them and dwell in them? I will live in them through the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God is the presence of God, not outside of us, but in us. When you go to the Old Testament, you will see that most of the time, those people who were serving God, the David, you name them, they were seized. Sometimes it was just the Holy Spirit came upon them for a ministry, for a mission, for some duties. The Holy Spirit came on them. But we have the Spirit of God in us. He dwells in us. What a privilege, my sister and my brother. Where is God? God is in us. God is no more God with us. And I said even the other time that most of the time people enjoy Emmanuel. But it's not enough to say Emmanuel, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Yes, Emmanuel, God is with us. But we need God to be in us, so that transformation can be possible and real. Because my brother, my sister, none of us can transform himself, herself. We need a power. We need some power that is above our powers so that we can surrender. It can be possible for us to be transformed. And that's why we need that power we call the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of God in us to transform us. As Christians, as children of God, our life is called to be transformed. My brother says, if in 2 years' time, 10 years' time, you still are the same person of 2018, 2017, something is wrong. Something is wrong. Because the Holy Spirit is just taking us step by step, surely. Step by step. It can be slow, but still the Holy Spirit is working in us. Because he dwells in us. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God can transform me. The Spirit of God can transform you and everyone. It is possible. It's still possible. So my brother, my sister, let us not give up hope because the Spirit is at work. No matter how long it will take, the Spirit of God will finish the work. As Jesus himself, when he came on earth, when he was on the cross, he said, Father, the work you have given me, it is finished. And the Holy Spirit in us, he will cry one day, the work I had to do in such, it is done. It will be done by the Holy Spirit. That's why we need him. We must listen to him. So that let's move again. We read John 16, 12 to 14. I want to speak about the role of the Holy Spirit in us. I have much to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. He will glorify me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. What's the role of the Holy Spirit? The role of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus, is to glorify God. How does the Holy Spirit glorify God? The Holy Spirit glorifies God by taking what is of God and making it known to us. That's how Jesus, how God is glorified. There's a big question here. Sometimes when I was reading this before, I could just have this in my mind when reading this passage. What came in my mind was like, when we are praying or serving God, the Holy Spirit now will speak to us, will take things of Jesus, of God, and bring them to us. For me, it was that expectation. But now I understand one thing different about what Jesus says here. He says this, I'm going to the Father. The Holy Spirit is coming. And when he will come, he will take what is of mine and just let it known to you. Make it known to you. How did he do that? The Holy Spirit, remember the Bible says that men were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write what we read, what we have as the Bible. So there is nothing again you need to know. If you want to know what is of Jesus, go to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has done it already. The work he was given to glorify Jesus. So this word of God is there to glorify Jesus Christ. To live accordingly to what the word of God says. Because we said that the glory of God is about his presence and his character. When Jesus is saying that, Father, I've glorified you. What does it mean? Jesus is saying, Father, I've lived the life according to what you wanted me to live. This is the life I've done, I've lived. I've lived that life to glorify you. I've shown, I've shown your glory to your people. It means the life of Jesus reflected the presence of God. That's why sometimes when you read in the book of John, Jesus says that whatever you see me, you hear me say, It's what I hear my father say. And whatever I do here is what I see my father do. That is glorifying God. Glorifying God is living according to the will and the word of God. That is why, that is how we can glorify God. So Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will take whatever is mine and give it to you. Did the Holy Spirit do that? Yes. How? We have the word of God. Who communicates this word of God to us? The Holy Spirit. Even as I am preaching, who will convince you? Not me, the Holy Spirit. In the book of John, 1 John or 2 John, it says, you do not need anymore to have someone to teach you because the anointing is already teaching you. So it's the Holy Spirit who can convince you and me about the truth of the word of God, not me. I can scream, I can speak in whatever way, but I will not convince you. It takes him, the Holy Spirit. Because he knows that what we say, if it goes in life, it's truly what God says, it will impact us. Because it's the word, the true word of God. Because the Bible says that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Only the truth will set us free. You know, sometimes I can stand here, spend times here preaching or speaking, but whatever I speak is just something about myself. It's not about the word of God. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. We must speak the word of God, what God says, and we must say amen to what God says. Amen, eh? And this is how the work of the Holy Spirit is to glorify God. Jesus says when he was on earth, he said when he was praying, Father, I have glorified you. And now it's up to you and me to glorify God, to live in light according to the word of God. What it says, do, we do. What it says, do not, we do not do. That's how we must live, according to the word of God. So the word of God, or the mind of God, is not hidden to us. It's known to us because the Holy Spirit lives in us, and the Holy Spirit inspired those who came before us so that they can write something that we can know what God thinks about us and about his people and about his creation. It's not, it's a secret. Because most of the time, that's why some people today are getting richer and richer, because they think and they tell people that they know the truth. And when you come to them, they will give you the revelation of who you are or whatever, what you need and this. And when they explain, you do what they say, you do, and then your life will change. And it's a big problem. And the word of God, it's just something that's part of the service, but no accent there, no importance given to the word of God. That is wrong. I said we must come to the time where we can love the word of God, as in the time of Paul, who could preach the whole night, but the whole night were just listening to the word of God. We must come to that point. Not the word of God, we want just to, please, we want 10 minutes and then we finish. No. It's the word of God. If it takes 2 minutes, it's okay. If it takes 1 hour, it's okay. If it takes two days, it's okay. You will not die listening to the word of God. So the word of God is there for us to know the mind and the will of God. I want just to go quickly, just because we want to finish, to see some lessons that I could just bring to us here, reading this scripture, and with the knowledge, full knowledge that God now wants and God is in us. If we are born again, if we are children of God, we have that assurance that God is not far from us. God is already in us. Lessons that we can learn. First one, do not only enjoy God's glory, but rather be transformed by it. Big problem. Today, churches are packed full of people. People come, they go. Crowds. Why? Because people want to go to enjoy. Because the presence of God will always be manifested. And there's something also sometimes I ask myself, because the Bible says, Jesus said that in that time, some will come and they will say, Lord, Lord, in your name we have cast out demons. In your name we have healed sick people. In your name. But they will say, depart from me. I've never known you. You never came to me. You were doing those stuff in my name, but you were not mine. Let me tell you that because of the presence of God, you can be healed. But an unbeliever, a candidate to hell, you can be healed. You can see miracles. You can see signs. These are not things that must attract us to God. But because of the glory of God, it comes to sanctify us, to transform us. People go to church, they see whatever they see, but life do not change. It's the same people, same character, same. But what? Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Because they put more emphasis on the works of the Holy Spirit. They don't see that the Holy Spirit is there to transform people. It's there to change people, to bring change in your life and in my life. We need the Holy Spirit. So do not only enjoy. Oh, today the church, it was powerful. Hey, do you know what happened today? Hey, the prophet, when he spoke to me, it was like he knew all about my family. Hey, that church, that man of God. No. Don't do those things, please. What about your life? What about your eternity? Because you can live whatever kind of life you can live, but let me tell you that and remind you that there will be a day you will leave this world. What next? Your cars, your houses, your whatever money, it will be there behind you. You'll never see it again. So we must focus on people being transformed. Not people receiving. Receive! Oh, we receive, Pastor. We receive, man of God. Receive what? These are things we must stop. But we pray that the Holy Spirit is at work. Secondly, a child of God can fall, but he, she will never have peace because the Holy Spirit lives in him or in her. Very important. It is possible, my brother, my sister, for a child of God to fall. It is possible. The Bible says that a child of God can fall seven times and seven times he will rise up. Where is the problem? The problem is this. When you fall, the problem starts after your fall. Because if truly you have the Holy Spirit in you, you will never have peace. Because something strange has entered you. And in you is the presence of God. That presence of God will be fighting that what has entered you. And that will not give you peace. You know, even yourself, if you want to know that you have the Spirit of God, you are a child of God. After doing something wrong, what happens to you? If you have the Spirit of God, yes, you can do something bad. But after that, you will see that you start regretting. Oh, why did I do that? It's not you. Because there's something in you. And that Holy Spirit will lead you to repentance. You will not keep it secret forever. Never. But also remember that it takes also time. It can take time. It can take years. But if the Holy Spirit is in the person, it doesn't matter, brothers and sisters. Let us leave it to the Holy Spirit. We pray, we wait upon God, we trust God, that God, you are in that person. What we know that your spirit is at work in your own time. Because the Bible says in the book of Galatians that in the due time, God sent his son, Jesus Christ. In his due time, God has his own time, not our time. What we have to do is just to believe him. Believe him no matter what. And the last lesson was, the Holy Spirit is the main asset for God's mission to the world. I said it already, that if we have the Holy Spirit, and you can read even the book of Acts, chapter 1, 4, and 8, Jesus instructed his disciples that don't rush. Don't go already. Quick, don't go quickly, just rush into mission. You must wait. Wait until that power comes. Wait until the Spirit comes. Because when He comes, He will now empower you. He will now enable you to go out. So the first asset the church needs for mission is the Holy Spirit. If we put aside the Holy Spirit, whatever we will do will be fleshly, carnal, human. But if we want to do the work of God, we must know that we are not going in our own power, in our own strength. We are going in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Because we are going in the strength of the Holy Spirit, we are sent by the Holy Spirit. I know no matter what will be on our way, we will fulfill our mission. Even though I said that even the other time, we can even go to the point that we die. But that is not a failure that we have failed our mission. No, it might be, it may still be the will of God. It might be just the seed for gospel. I gave you just even the other example. People can, missionaries came into Africa. To Nigeria, I remember, I read a book, to Nigeria, there were missionaries who came, five of them, I think they died, all of them, but still others came. And when they came, the gospel was spread. I don't know why God can allow that. But let me tell you that when we go in the power of the Spirit of God, nothing will be impossible. We will do what God wants us to do. It might look difficult. When we look at it, it is very difficult. But the truth is, it is not impossible. Not everything that is difficult is impossible. Because we have the spirit of impossibilities. The Holy Spirit will lead us. The Holy Spirit will give us words. There are times we will go, you want to speak to people, you ask yourself, what am I going to tell them? You don't know anything. Just open your mouth and the Holy Spirit will work. I remember, this was not about me, when I was just defending my thesis, I was asked questions. Sometimes I could not even know where to start. Then I remember this scripture said, the Spirit says, that the Bible says that God will give us what to say. What I did, and it worked for me that time. I don't say that it works all the time. It worked for me. And what I could do, when they ask me a question, I start by repeating the question. Okay, you said, and later on, I will find myself giving the right question, the right answer. I could not know where the answer came from, but because I opened my mouth, I started speaking, and it came. So, the Holy Spirit is there to assist us. The Holy Spirit is there to help us. And the Holy Spirit will always be glorifying God. What does it mean now to us, just to close our message? You and I are called by God to glorify Him. Our life must be a life that glorifies God. How are we going to glorify God? We will glorify God by living according to the word of God. That's to glorify God. When you say, be glorified in my life, yes, He will do that. But at the same time, also, He will reply to you that you have my word. You are asking Him to be glorified in your life. And He said, you have my word. Use my word. And you will see that I will be glorified in your life. If the church will use the word of God, God will be glorified in our lives. At the same time, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He does the work of God. What is the work of God in human beings' lives? I said it was to sanctify, to send, and to secure. The Holy Spirit comes to us to sanctify us. He leads us in all the truth. That's the way of sanctifying us. The Holy Spirit will correct us. The Holy Spirit will show us what to do and what not to do. The Holy Spirit will do good and wonderful works to glorify God, because He is the one glorifying God in us. And therefore, our lives will be lives that glorify the Almighty God. brothers and sisters, coming to church, seeing what is happening, whatever we experience in this life, doesn't matter. What matters is to have the Spirit of God in us. And to have the Spirit of God in us, it started by us giving our lives to God. You know, there are people, there are sometimes even in our churches, there are people who from childhood, they come to church. From childhood, they go to church, they go to church, they grow up and they get married and they get children, but they have never given their life to Jesus. There are such people in the church. That's not the will of God. You are not saved because your father is a pastor, your father he goes to church, you start going to church since the time you were very young. No, it's not about that. Where are you, my brother and my sister? Is the Spirit of God in you, or you need the Spirit of God to be in you? Let us close our eyes. I want just to give a chance to someone in our midst. Maybe you have enjoyed the glory of God. Maybe you have seen what God has done in your life. You have seen a lot of things. But still, you have never, you know for sure that you have never given your life to Jesus. Maybe this is your opportunity. Maybe. If you are there, just raise up your hand and then we will pray together and we'll thank God for your salvation. Going to church, singing in the church, giving your tithe, doing whatever in the church will not save you. What saves you is your faith in Jesus. When you give your life to Jesus, when you accept to be born again, and the Spirit of God will dwell in you. If there is anyone who thinks that I have never done that, I want to take this step, it's a good chance to do that. If there is no one, we thank God, because if we are in the presence of, or in the midst of the people of God, that is a great joy because we are brothers and sisters. So let us pray. Wonderful Father, we thank you for being with us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. You have given us, there is no secret, and we have your word with us, Lord. Help us, Father, as we move forward in this year, to be readers of the word of God, people who meditate upon the word of God, people who are open to the word of God, and that the Holy Spirit will bring the transformation that is needed, Lord, in our lives. So, Father, I commit to you, your people, my brothers and sisters, that Jehovah God, we will never do it alone. And now we know that because we are the children of God, we have the Spirit of God in us. And help us to go out now, that we not keep the secret or keep it secret, but it will be something that is given for the world. We want to go out and bring Jesus to the world so that he might be glorified. Father, I want my brother and my sister and myself to glorify you everywhere you go, everywhere we go, at work, in our houses, wherever we go in the marketplace. Father, we want just to glorify your name. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. In the name of Jesus, and the people of God say, Amen.